podcasts of the WDWNT Network are made possible each and every week by listeners like you and the following fantastic sponsors. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. If you book a trip to the Walt Disney World Resort between September 29th and December 17th, 2009, you can get a free quick service meal, table service meal, and snack for everyone in your party for every day of your vacation. For more information on this special offer and many, many more, visit MagicalTravel.com and book your next Disney trip today. Resales DVC is your home for Disney Vacation Club resales. Whether you're buying or selling your part in the Disney Vacation Club, Resales DVC is prepared to walk you step-by-step through the process and make sure your experience is as pleasant as possible. For pricing, availability, and more information, be sure to contact Grandma Jackie and Kin at www.resalesdvc.com or by phone at 866-544-2919 to make your vacation dreams come true.
I'm not sponging for rum. It be gold I'm after.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-hey.
There's no turning back now.
Like a grand and miraculous spaceship, our planet has sailed through the universe of time.
Put up 2, 5, and 7.
Roger, just now!
Look at the guy in the goofy mask.
That's not a mask.
Sorry, lady.
I'm sure to do better next time. It was my first flight, and I'm still getting used to my programming.
You made it. I knew you would.
Hi, hello, and welcome.
Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the WDW News Today podcast, a variety show celebrating the Walt Disney World Resort and its fans. At this time, please welcome your party host, Tom Corliss.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the WDWNT podcast. This is episode number 109 for September 7th, 2009. Kick off this week's show, we have your Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. In this week's report, we'll be discussing the return of Stitch to a stage in Tomorrowland, the progress on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, or TTA, refurbishment, and what just might be next for the Disney parks around the world. Following the report, we have the debut of our first import from the Disneyland News Today podcast, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. In this segment, we will take the topic that you voted for and dissect it to wrestle up what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly about Mickey's PhilharMagic at the Magic Kingdom. In addition, be sure to stay tuned until the very end of the program. We will have all the details on how you could follow our live coverage of the D23 Expo. So what are you waiting for? Let's celebrate another week of Walt Disney World information and fun on the WDW News Today podcast.
Everything.
celebrating bridging the gap between you and the world for one quarter of a decade, it's now time for this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report.
Welcome to this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report. Joining me for the return of the report this week, Mr. Scott Smith.
How many Neanderthals does it take to light a fire? None. They don't have it.
Alrighty then. Justin Heyman.
How's it going?
And our newest member of the podcast team, Mr. Brandon Struve.
Hello.
Ah, simple and effective, so let's move on.
Boring.
It gets us to the segment faster, which in the end is probably more popular. So let's get started as usual over at the Magic Kingdom. According to the Orlando Sentinel's Theme Park Rangers blog, quote, a trusted source reports that Disney is reviving a Stitch show that will be presented this year during Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at the Magic Kingdom. Its name, A Totally Tomorrowland Christmas, but it will include the rascally character known as Stitch. Expected on the stage where Stitch was previously seen for the short-lived, much-hated Stitch's Supersonic Celebration. A Disney official has nothing to announce at this time. Those of you may remember on a August 16th photo report, I remarked that a new show was set to debut on the stage in November. We didn't really know what it was. There have been some modifications going on the stage, and apparently in November, Totally Tomorrowland Christmas is coming, so this stage will once again be in action for the Very Merry Christmas Parties and a Stitch Christmas show.
This is, I guess pretty much what we expected, at least, would happen here. But still, a very good thing. I didn't think that the stage was going to go to waste, though. I know a lot of people said they really felt like it was going to be wasted. I didn't think that there's any really way that could happen. Just definitely going to fill a gap that was left there. With the Galaxy Palace Theater being demolished. So,
yeah, and there's also some temporary lights up on the stage, which leads us to believe that those kids' dance parties they usually have in Tomorrowland for the Halloween party are going to be held on that stage. So that stage is probably going to see a lot of use from now through January.
Yeah, which would make sense and pull some folks into that area of the Tomorrowland, which is vacant for the time being.
Yeah, something desperately needs to happen over in that section. It's just, it's dead. There's absolutely nothing back there. You've got a few meet and greets going on in the Carousel of Progress, but other than that, Tomorrowland back that side is just nothing. Anything would be better than that.
It's not even really news, because we kind of knew that they, like, Tom, you called it long way back, that they wouldn't have closed such a recent addition without something in the wings, so it's expected. It is welcomed.
It seems this is almost becoming like a soap opera because it seems every time we do a news segment, there's something about this stage. So it's like a continuing series on this show. Every time we do news and rumors, there's an update on this stage. So hopefully this will be one of the last updates. And although we will tell you more on that new show once we have more information. So definitely stay tuned to the show and as well, WDWNewsToday.com. Staying in Tomorrowland, as we also previously reported, new LED lights have been installed on the soon-to-open Tomorrowland Transit Authority. The opening has indeed been pushed back from originally September 1st. It is now going to reopen on September the 12th. And actually, some people have been lucky enough to catch them testing the LED lights at night. Not only do they have a very powerful static white light, but they also change colors. So looking really, really interesting. Some great upgrades to the TTA. And I know, Justin, you're going to be down there the 12th, and you're looking forward to a ride on the newly refurbished Tomorrowland Transit Authority.
I am very much looking forward to a ride, and we'll bring back a full report as always.
All right, moving from the Magic Kingdom over to Epcot. While many have reported that the special dining program featuring the quote-unquote living character of Remy from Disney Pixar's Ratatouille, where he meets and greets guests at the Le Chefs de France restaurant in the France Pavilion at Epcot, would be coming to an end this fall. A recent listing on the Disney Auditions website says otherwise, because Disney Auditions is currently seeking a male or female comedic improv actor for Bon Appetit with Chef Remy, and that is what the program has been known as. So it appears the popularity of having these meal times with Remy and this quote-unquote waiter or waitress coming to the table with Remy and interacting with the guests at the restaurant has been so popular that they're going to continue it. A wonderful program. And, you know, I think we said earlier this year when they said it was going to be only a short run that Remy was on a lot of Epcot merchandise. So We thought it was going to be pretty permanent, and indeed it is going to be permanent.
Yeah, it's funny because I actually saw this in a newspaper called Backstage, which is an actor newspaper, and it was, I was quite surprised because, like you said, Tom, we hadn't heard anything definite about it, but I'm glad to see that it is staying because, you know, every little bit helps, and it sounds like it's going to be a good show. I don't speak any French, though, so I was unable to audition, but sounds cool.
I was excited to see, you know, even though this is kind of a different type of living character, to see one of these really advanced figures ending up in one of Walt Disney World parks. You know, for all too long, Lucky made an appearance and left, and you know, Wally really never got over here.
Although both of them will be at the D23 Expo.
That they will be. You know, Muppet Mobile Labs was there and gone very quickly. So it's nice to see that one of these, you know, really, really advanced figures finds a home in Walt Disney World.
I think it's just because it's such a perfect fit for that restaurant, too. I can't think of too many other properties other than possibly Disneyland Paris that it would make sense to see him in anyway.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They've been trying the last few years to get the characters in, not as much Future World as World Showcase. Grand Fiesta Tour coming in and bringing in the Kim Possible World Showcase Adventure. Now, Remy in France. There's a lot for kids to do in World Showcase now. I think those problematic days of Epcot not being really for kids, I think those are long gone.
I'm just jealous it all came after I grew up, because I sure could have used all that when I was a kid.
It's okay. I think a lot of us are worse than kids now. So nothing worse than adults screaming at communicators around World Showcase.
Yeah, not knocking them out of the way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see it.
Scott has apparently played Kim Possible with Tom.
they don't do points on Kim Possible, so it's not as bad as me on Toy Story Mania.
This is true.
My turn to hold the phone.
You know, Tom, you bring up a good point, which is this also comes at a place that is seen as less than a kid-friendly restaurant. So by adding Remy to the atmosphere there, I think Disney's made a conscious effort to say, maybe we need to bring a few more kids in here and let a few more families enjoy this restaurant as well.
Yeah, it may be a way to help that restaurant as well. I don't know. I think I ate there when I was like 2 or 3 years old, a long, long time ago. I don't know. Is that restaurant fairly popular? Does anyone know if that restaurant's usually hard to get a reservation at?
It can be at some of the more peak times, I believe. I think it's seen as a very nice restaurant, much like Le Cellier.
Yeah, I don't know if we can compare it to Le Cellier.
Well,
that's
yes.
Hard. But would we compare it to maybe Nine Dragons or?
But I mean on
the moderately popular restaurants at Epcot.
Yeah, yeah, it's not quite as popular as Le Cellier. I just mean it's a nicer place. It's not like you know, Beer Garden, for example.
Yeah, it's a little more upscale.
Exactly.
I got to drag myself in there eventually to see Remy, but now the good news is I actually have time to do so. So catch us in there at some point. Moving on to our next piece of news at Epcot, tasty tequilas and mouth-watering margaritas are on tap at the La Cava del Tequila, a new offering, not yet, for Epcot guests to explore the heritage and tradition of tequila making in Mexico. Tucked away in the Mexico Pavilion, La Cava del Tequila beckons guests with more than 70 types of authentic tequila, ranging from the simplest to the rarest of them all, aged to perfection, and made from the finest distilled spirits from the I'm going to try and not butcher this word, agave plant. Tequilas range in price from $8 to $50 for specialty tequila. Amid warm decor, artwork, and original artifacts all celebrating the Mexican heritage, a tequila ambassador is on hand to educate Walt Disney World guests on the history of tequila making. Also on the drink menu, exotic and unlikely blended margaritas, introducing a variety of flavored salts, spices, and tropical fresh fruits masterfully prepared by experienced mixologists. Maybe I'm majoring in the wrong thing. A variety of quick tastes will be available, including freshly made guacamole, as well as mahi-mahi tostadas, and diced mango, and avocado blue crab tostadas, and lots of other exciting things. The 30 seat, that's right, only 30 seats in there. La Cava del Tequila is open from noon until Epcot Park closing time when it is open, and of course is connected somewhat to the famous San Angel Inn as part of the Mexico Pavilion. Now, from the many reports we've had thus far, La Cava del Tequila is not open yet. Looks ready, but apparently it isn't. But we got a lot of press photos from Disney that came to us this week, and those are up on WDWNewsToday.com. I know, Brandon, you passed by there earlier this week hoping it would be open.
Yeah, I've actually been there twice since its supposed opening, and I think both times were afternoon, and it's just been gated up. No sign of life at all.
So you've been there after 12?
Yes.
Yet it's not. Yeah, that's what everyone's saying, is that it has not opened yet. So we'll keep you posted on WDWNewsToday.com when you can have some tequila at Epcot, another topic we've been talking about every week. But from the pictures we have seen, it looks very, very nice. Small, but very, very nice.
Yeah, it's very small. It's like I almost missed it because it was so small.
You know, one of the nice things about this, though, is if you need a quick bite to eat and you don't want to go outside to the cantina, they are going to be serving a little bit of food there. I believe some tapas-style dishes. So it may be another place to grab a quick bite to eat, too.
Yep, it sounds like it. So it's a little bit more than tequila, which is nice.
Which is nice. But the tequila is nice,
yeah,
too.
$50 tequila.
It better be
you
nice.
May not even remember it.
This is true.
We have to pay for the ambassador.
The tequila ambassador. Moving on at Epcot. Interventions East and West had an interesting update this week. Not only do they now have green and blue pavement, but they have green and blue paint. And this goes back to a report many, many months ago we did about a rumor change where they would become Interventions Green and Interventions Blue. Now, those large sort of the breezeway entrances on both sides have been painted green and blue. So adding a little more credibility to that rumor we talked about last year. What does everyone think of this green and blue Interventions at Epcot?
I think it's very dynamic. I need to see it in person, though, to make a final judgment.
You know, I like it. I've seen it in person. It's bright. It makes them stand out a lot more than that purple color used to. The purple is kind of fading anyway. And I think it just really, you know, brings the new Interventions right out there into the plaza. So you can't miss it. I think it looks great.
I'm just happy that we can now call them green and blue instead of arguing over which one's east and west every time we need to talk about Interventions.
That's true.
Now we just need to remember what's in what color.
And east and west has always been weird because while technically the Mission Space side is east, you enter from the north side of the park. So when you're going, you know, into that area, your east, if you will, is actually the side with the land and living seas. So, you know, a lot of guests often got confused with that, I think, is a problem. So having it green and blue and having the colors easy for guests to see, it'll be a lot easier for them to cast members to direct guests around the park that way. So I think it's a good idea on many levels. It's also a good idea because you're rebranding Interventions, and anyone that may have visited 10 years ago and thinks, hey, Interventions is boring, I'm not going there, making it look really fresh and really new, you know, I think could make them think, hey, maybe they've changed some stuff in there, and indeed they have. Moving over to Disney's Hollywood Studios, the Walt Disney World website has just been updated with new dates for the Osborne Family Spectacle of Dancing Lights, which will now be running beginning November 10th and running still until January 4th, 2010. Site originally had the event starting in late November, as it did last year because of the final ABC Super Soap weekend. This year, it is back in early November, certainly pleasing all those guests that complained last year who visited during that period and were unable to see the lights. They will be able to see the lights dance in early November, or mid-November, I guess you could say, this year. I think it's great that they're back running early, giving more people a chance to see them.
I have never seen these. I have got to get out there and see them.
Me neither.
I'm never around the holiday.
Brandon,
time.
You live there now, so you will be seeing them this year, I'm sure. If you don't see them, then you have some problem.
Yeah.
This is, I think, to be expected, especially after what we all heard last year, and I think we spent quite a bit of time discussing this last year, as I remember, and why the change was made and all that kind of good stuff. So it's not a big surprise here. I think it was a necessary thing to do, and yeah, nice of them to listen to everybody.
Absolutely. Now moving to our final piece of news beyond the parks, if it wasn't enough that the D23 Expo is just a few days away and we're counting on a slew of announcements about the future of the Disney parks. There's actually an interesting YouTube video released by Disney Imagineering, and you can see this whole video by going to WDWNewsToday.com. And while you're there, you could stop at the specific times I'm going to bring up in this news report and see actually what we're talking about. In this video, there were a few things we have never seen before, which leads us to believe they're things we can expect, perhaps, at some point from Walt Disney Imagineering. So very quickly going through these. At 19 seconds into the video, there are fountains that an Imagineer sets on fire. Of course, we're believing this is something from World of Color at California Adventure, or could be for something else. We don't really know. Here's one of the more interesting ones. At 45 seconds in, there is a portrait of Master Gracie, the one you've seen in the foyer of the Haunted Mansion attraction that sort of ages as you're standing there. And in this video, it's actually changing as the Imagineer waves his hand over it. Could this be new technology we can see at the Haunted Mansion? And is this RFID technology at that?
It looked cool, but I don't know how I feel about that particular application, because I don't want people... Like, I like the slowly decaying effect with the music and the narration, having to know to go over to touch it in order to activate it. I don't like it as much. So, I mean, the technology is cool. The technology is really cool, but that particular application.
See, that almost looks more like something they just did a test on.
If it is, that's fine. I'm just saying if that's an actual idea for the Haunted Mansion, then I'm not entirely behind that.
Regardless, I think that, yeah, the technology is fantastic.
Technology, yeah, is fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
Should go into a new ImageWorks.
Should go into a new imagination attraction first.
Pavilion.
Yeah, let's go with that. Then at 1 minute and 14 seconds in the video, there are two men animating a Jack Sparrow character through motion capture technology. We believe that is actually for the new Disney Cruise Line interactive Jack Sparrow show they're going to have on there. Then at 1 minute and 52 seconds, there is a space alien, at least what we think is a space alien, behind an Imagineer who's talking. We tried to sit down all week and figure out what this is, and Anthony Yaculo suggested that it might be for Space Mountain, and some of us thought it was for maybe the Next Generation Star Tours attraction.
It kind of looks to me like a Sunny Eclipse.
It's sort of in that, yeah, that sort of, you know, made
up.
It's
got the similar
alien
nostril snout shape.
Well, I don't know if he does. He looks more like a human head almost. Only
see,
bluish.
I can almost
looks like an old man.
Yeah,
Sunny and Yoda.
He looks like a blue Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if they'd invent a new alien for Star Tours. I mean, you have so many species already that...
Maybe he's one of those background characters you just haven't noticed. I mean, there is a lot of weird out there background characters in Star Wars that aren't necessarily visible. And they did create new robots for the original Star Tours. Remember that. Those are new droids.
Well, they skinned robots.
Yeah, but those are new droids in the Star Wars universe, if you will. They don't exist anywhere else in the films or anything. Including Captain Rex. So creating new Star Wars characters for that attraction isn't anything new.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I don't know. Looking at that, I don't know. I mean, again, it's completely out of context, so who knows?
Yeah. We may know after the expo. Let's wait on that one. Then in the video, this is, for me, the most interesting part of the video. From 2 minutes and 17 seconds to about 2 minutes and 21 seconds in, you could see a man walking in a real 3D environment and interacting with projected characters. The first scene, a man or a creature made of ice he's battling. And in the second one, he's actually interacting with Tinkerbell. And this actually goes back to rumors I've been hearing of for a while, but didn't really have a lot to go on, so I haven't really reported them yet. But of these experiences where guests would be able to step into these real environments and these projected characters would appear and interact with them based on, again, that RFID technology. And I'm wondering if this is it. If not, I can't imagine what it is, but this looks pretty amazing.
This was the part of the video that, like, wowed me. That was like, whoa, that's something new. Because when I heard the new stuff was in the video, I was watching it, but I wasn't quite sure what was new and what was just stuff from overseas or was just new. I'm like, wait, is that new? Maybe that's new. I don't remember that. Maybe is that new? That's new. But this is the thing that was like, oh my goodness, that has never been seen before.
Yeah, this is very cool stuff, and it definitely takes up a notch what is going to be expected out of Disney Magic. So, you know, if this really truly is something, I guess what worries me about this is, can it be a wide-scale attraction, or is this something that maybe we'll see end up in Disney Quest? because it just worries me how scalable this type of thing is. But until we really see what it is, we won't really know. But this is very cool stuff.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I thought Disney Quest definitely came to my mind when I saw that too. It just looks, like you said, something that would be smaller in scale. Unless, well, they're the Imagineers. They could pull something big off too. Who knows?
The only other thing that came to mind was maybe like a Pixie Hollow version 2 or something like that.
This is really the Living Character Initiative on a whole new scale, where the characters are not, they're the real characters. If you've seen the video, that's Tinkerbell in the size and form that, she's most recognized. And the Imagineer testing the system there actually, says a command to Tinkerbell and she, sprays some pixie dust. So this is interactive technology that is unmatched, and we haven't even the Living Character Initiative projects we've seen out in the open thus far do not compare anything to what we've seen in this video. The final and very interesting part of this video is at 2 minutes and 22 seconds, there is a really strange but very, very cool spinning simulator type vehicle with mounted guns that two Imagineers are sitting in. What on earth could this thing be? It's the question.
Toy Story Extreme.
This is, again, I think, Disney Quest comes to mind with a lot of these because they're really new technologies. And when Disney Quest came around, a lot of the stuff in there was new technologies. I mean, we've heard a lot of rumors about a Disney Quest sort of redo coming in the next few years to sort of, make that a must-visit attraction at Walt Disney World. But could this be a vehicle to a new attraction somewhere in the parks? And this is another shoot 'em up attraction with a very, very different ride vehicle than we've seen before that spins basically 360 degrees up, down, left, right, all over the place.
The weird thing is, even though I was thinking Disney Quest for other things, I was thinking Intervention for this. And I guess it's just because there's been other simulators and Interventions maybe before, but don't know what, none of the currently defined new exhibits for Interventions comes to mind, but for some reason it just has that look and feel to it to me.
Well, I was thinking the Sum of All Thrills or something along that line. It kind of looks like what it's been described as.
No, Sum of All Thrills, I think we know, is the KUKA arm, which is, if you've seen Rockin' Robots in Interventions, it's one of those arms, just at the end of it will be a seat. So you'll be in those two little seats, and those two little seats will just be, moved all over the place. This is more like a, I don't know what they call those things. You've seen them like county. You see them like county fairs and stuff. They basically strap you in them and you spin all over the place.
Here you get a gun.
Here you're in a seat inside one of those contraptions with a gun. Yeah.
Thinking a Nemo ride.
Nemo, yeah. Shoot the fish.
We do still have another empty area in Interventions that's not the Sum of All Thrills. Maybe you could go in something into that area.
It's possible. This doesn't look like a moving vehicle. It looks like, basically a simulator-based contraption. So that's very possible. But again, be sure to check out that video. A lot of really cool things in there. And of course, be sure to tune into our coverage of the expo by following me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT. Of course, check WDWNewsToday.com daily for updates. And as well, coming up in just 2 weeks' time, we have our D23 Expo review show right here on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. And with that, that is going to wrap up this week's Walt Disney World Resort News and Rumor Report.
It's time to dissect Walt Disney World's attractions, shops, and restaurants as WDW News Today proudly presents The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Howdy, partners, and welcome to the first ever edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly on the WDW News Today podcast. I am your host, Tom Tuco Corliss, and joining me for this initial segment, we have Sheriff Scott Smith.
We don't take too kindly to podcasting around these parts, so do your business and get out.
We have Anthony Angel Azzaculo.
Ma'am.
Thanks. And Brandon Blondie Struve, who is interning here, and you may recognize Brandon's name there from the photo updates on WDWNewsToday.com.
He takes on his fancy picture box.
Yeah, yes.
He's a deputy.
All right, let's drop the accents. Welcome to the very first edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly on the WDW News Today podcast. Those of you familiar with the Disneyland News Today podcast probably already know this segment very well. Those of you who do not listen to that show probably remember this as a test segment we did a few weeks ago with listener Jeff Aruz. We called it the Bibbidi, the Bobbidi, and the Boo. Well, it's here permanently as The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and the purpose of the segment is to find what's good, what's bad, and what is ugly about attractions, stores, and restaurants around the Walt Disney World Resort. So we're going to go in-depth analyzing things almost to death, if you will, in this segment. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the good, and we're going to go around, and then we'll do the same for the bad and then the ugly. So let's start with the good, and tonight's topic is going to be Mickey's PhilharMagic at the Magic Kingdom. It won the first ever poll in WDWNT Interactive on the WDW News Today, or WDWNT Network Community Forums, I should say. So Mickey's PhilharMagic. Let's start with Anthony. Anthony, what is the good of Mickey's PhilharMagic?
I would say the good, without a doubt, is the 3D effects that are used in the attraction. Well, I would say the 3D effects alongside with the quote-unquote 4D effects of the smells and whatnot that happen throughout the attraction. It was one of the first attractions I had seen on a trip to Disney World, and it was just such a cool 3D movie. You know, you've seen 3D movies in the past with the blue and the red, or sometimes the red and the green 3D, but this type of 3D, aside from having seen one movie in IMAX, was just very, very cool experience for me, and I absolutely love the 3D effects. It's some of the best I've ever seen of any 3D movie. I saw, I think it was Ghost of the Abyss in 3D. It looked like some of the things were coming out of the screen, but not to the degree of Mickey's PhilharMagic. It really looks like you can just reach out and grab everything as it's coming out of the screen.
So I'm going to guess this was the first 3D show you had seen at Walt Disney World.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think by then we were pretty used to the I guess you call them polarized lenses.
Yeah, they'd used that when I had seen the one movie in IMAX, but they really weren't that great, to be honest.
What else do you think is good?
Well, there's several other things I think that are good.
There's a lot of good here.
the in-house effects, much like Muppets 3D, are really cool. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize to turn around once it's over and see Donald sticking out of the wall. I think that's something that some people just completely end up missing.
Yeah, probably the same for like Muppet Vision when you miss the Swedish Chef with the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very similar.
That's why you always got to make a huge deal of you turning around and looking at it, so everyone does that.
So, yeah, you've always got to be the one to sort of start that when you know it's there.
Yep.
So, Scott, what do you think is good about this? Well, Mickey's PhilharMagic.
There's nothing I enjoy more than a good PhilharMagic. It's we're done with that. What's good about this attraction? Everything. The end. Now, so, like
it could be.
Like seriously, pick any number of things. Pick anything you want in that building, and it's good. Cute, wonderful, classy. You know, entertaining. Not that it's air conditioned. It's air conditioned, and it's not that you ever wait in it that long. I mean, sometimes you wait in that little, that little lobby a little longer. But other than that, it so perfectly sets the tone. The show itself. Perfect selection of songs, flawless selection of songs. woven together, again, perfectly. And it gives a home to all these characters that might not have had, like, an attraction.
Although most of them in there do have attractions.
Well, most of them do, but, like, Little Mermaid has a meaning where she doesn't have an attraction. The Fab Five. Yeah,
aged Little Mermaid.
Well, I mean in the Magic Kingdom, whatever. Sure. I don't consider that an attraction. That's a show.
Peter Pan doesn't have an attraction.
I didn't say Peter
within
Pan.
Within 5 feet.
I didn't say Peter Pan. Little Mermaid doesn't. I don't think. I don't consider the show. Mickey doesn't have an attraction. He's got his house, but that's like a meet and greet.
Yeah, I think one thing we'll definitely say about this attraction is it is the first true Fab Five, well, Fab Four attraction.
Yes, thank you. That's what I really mean. I didn't say it eloquently enough, but that's why I have Tom Corliss. So
Donald's all over the place now.
Okay, so excellent selection of characters. Excellent selection of songs, a great mix of you start off with a upbeat number, and then you go into the ballad after the little comedy interlude with the brooms, and then you go into another upbeat number with the Lion King, and then you go into another ballad. So, well, if you the Peter Pan and Aladdin are kind of mixed together to form one ballady
sky
kind of,
scene.
Yeah, it's one kind of ballady thing, because You Can Fly isn't really an upbeat song. Not that it's depressing, but it is,
but when there's only like 20 seconds of it.
Well, it's melodic and it flows nicely into A Whole New World, which is definitely a ballad, so I kind of consider it one ballady kind of thing. But the point is, you don't have them next to each other. It's balanced very, very well, blended superbly. The whole thing is good. And you have the lighting effects even before the show starts. You have you don't even know that the rim or the frame of the screen
it's
goes
just
up. Yeah, you don't even realize it's lifted until it comes back down. That's when I always notice it. I'm like, oh, right, they did that. Plus you have the smells, which I think is the best smell effect in Walt Disney World.
Num num pie.
Yeah, num-num.
Although Luke Manning will argue the bug from It's Tough to Be a Bug is his favorite.
Some people like the fart smell, but that's a whole other issue. So, best smells, plus you have the Donald in the back. It's a wonderful Disney experience. The essence of everything Disney is.
You made me think of something else I want to mention now.
Well, go ahead then, sir.
You were talking about the queue earlier.
Go ahead, Angel Eyes.
Oh, man.
Have any of you ever been in there? Well, I don't know if they are in there all the time, but the saxophone guys.
No,
like,
I've never.
No, the like Fantasyland band, they move around quite a bit. They're never really
every
in a set
every time
location.
I've gone to PhilharMagic, they've been in there. And while the line's slowly going along, start playing the Pink Panther theme. Which I think is just a really fun touch that they kind of get them in there to help keep people entertained as we're going through the line.
Is this when there's actually a line going out of the building or in that first waiting room?
Yeah, in the first waiting room.
Yeah.
They'll usually bring them in to play all sorts of songs like Disney classics, and as I said, as you're slowly going through the line, comically playing the Pink Panther theme.
Well,
although that room is really cool, though. The posters in there with Hades and Wheezy. And
they have
it's a really great
the blurb underneath the photo. So you have the joke on the poster, but then you have another little pun on the plaque underneath the poster.
Absolutely. It's a really, really great pre-show room there.
And just adds to the story because they talk about previous seasons of the Opera House. So it just adds, a fictional age to the building. To finish
up, you get the idea that this is, a special engagement, perhaps, and that other performances take place here throughout the year, although they don't.
Yes. Well, you're brought into the world of PhilharMagic. What's good about this?
Yes.
Everything, like I said before.
Well, since I let Mission Space have it last week, I just thought it was for the PhilharMagic have the same sort of letdown. Not really. This week.
Are we doing that again?
No, we're not going to do that. Okay, let's... Scott, are you through all of your good?
I am
through. All right, Brandon, what do you think is good about Mickey's PhilharMagic?
What hasn't been said? A few additional things. I agree with everything Scott and Anthony said. I really the first time I saw the proscenium, which is the technical name for that stage frame,
I knew that. I was blown away.
Like that. That's
Scott, aren't
awesome.
You an actor?
I know. I got an A in my technical theater course. Okay, I knew it. I just forgot. Continue.
Anyway, that part is awesome. And then the other thing that no one's mentioned yet is just the sheer size of that screen. I think wasn't it Disney's largest seamless screen when it first came out?
I think it's still the largest for a 3D film.
Yeah. Which is, it wraps around your entire field of vision. So if you're sitting there and you're just looking straight, within your peripheral vision, you can't see anything but the movie. So I think that's awesome. I know they do that with Impressions de France, but, you know, they've got the lines in between and not everything lines up, and it's awesome and pull off really well in PhilharMagic. And then something that I've discovered is that apple pie smell, same exact smell as the Glade apple cinnamon spray. So if you ever want a little bit of PhilharMagic in your house, 99 cents.
Yeah, imagine how many canisters of that they have to buy.
So, basically I agree with everyone. PhilharMagic is awesome.
Is that Disney? No, it's Glade. Moving on. For my good about Mickey's PhilharMagic, Glade, yes, it's very fancy. For my good about Mickey's PhilharMagic, what hasn't been said, Brandon, I'm glad Brandon brought up the seamless screen. I think what's great about that, though, is how you really don't even notice the first time you see the film, maybe the first few times, that it's sort of getting wider. Of course, it first gets wider when the proscenium just blasts off into space. But then again, when we get to the Little Mermaid scene and it sort of opens wide, and I think that's what makes that scene really special, the Little Mermaid scene, is because it's the first one that really wraps around you in that movie. The two before that are really sort of dark, so you really don't even notice you're really in those environments. And all of a sudden, big, bright environment, and you feel like you're there because it's all there in front of you, very wide screen. So really, really well done. The transition from movie to movie is wonderful. I love when Simba pops up for the Lion King scene and sort of scares the whole crowd. I don't know why. That one's sort of cartoony, but for some reason that Lion King scene is my favorite. I think it's because I really like that song. I just love the way that one's animated, the comedy of Donald sort of getting beat up by these cardboard cutout characters.
Well, it's from the movie, and it's a visual difference from the realism of the darkness of the Little Mermaid. You went from a dark scene and then you go into a very colorful light scene. It's again going back to the contrast and the balancing that they did spectacularly.
And really great 4D effects. I mean, during the Beauty and the Beast scene, the fact that the lights start going back and forth above you in the crowd. Again, they do so many things to make you feel like you're really in that film, and it works. And the most wonderful, I think, is the Aladdin scene where because of how wide that screen is, it really feels like you're flying, which is really amazing for a theater of that size, how you can sort of, your mind can play a trick on you there. Really so many great things about the film, so many great things about the queue. And one thing no one's brought up is the store, Fantasy Fair. Really, really great shop at the exit of PhilharMagic. Really, really well themed, continues the story. Donald's fighting the instruments above the store, and it's really well themed. You gotta love the almost classic Disney store kind of Mickey model that's behind the register.
Yeah.
With Mickey in the sorcerer's hat in his outfit from the attraction. So that's really, really great as well. So I think we've covered everything.
Oh, wait. I thought of one more thing.
Okay, you got another good.
Yes, as if I didn't say enough about it. To me, PhilharMagic is one of the best, if not the only, attraction that really lets you connect with the characters. I guess Muppet Vision does too, but between Donald, you know, they're reaching out to you. Donald reacts to you. You know, Jasmine waves at someone in the crowd. And what brings me to tears is when Ariel just looks at you. You know, what a
guts. Comes out with those arms. Arms sort of go into the crowd.
No, but dude, animators say, like everyone in the show business says, the eyes are the window to the soul. And she just lets you know. It's such an artistic scene, and it was so gutsy to do that without a gimmick, without nothing. You're just sharing a bond with this character who's sharing her soul to you. I mean, if I can wax artistic for a bit, it's what other attraction does that kind of thing? You know,
I think the reason you can connect this very much to a Disney animated film is because this was the very first time that Walt Disney Feature Animation and Walt Disney Imagineering had come together. And I think that's really what made this so special, is that you really got great Disney animation for 10 minutes, but you also got what made Disney attractions great to go along with it. And the blending of these two beautiful art forms coming together makes one of the most phenomenal experiences in Disney history.
And you hit it on the head, Tom, by getting animation involved, by getting Glenn Keane back to work on Ariel, you kept her soul intact. These characters are all them. You know, the people who brought them to life brought them
to life It's an authentic journey into those films.
Yes, exactly. I just think that was such a gutsy move. You know, I've heard people gasp. You know, people don't expect that. You know, a character it's almost as if she's trying to connect to us in a way that, you know, yeah, the Muppets talk to us and other characters talk to us, but she's trying to connect. And maybe it's just me overthinking it, but that's what I feel when I go in that attraction.
And another good thing, fantastic tribute to the original attraction in this building,
yes,
the Mickey Mouse Revue, which was Mickey as a conductor and a bunch of characters from different Disney animated films performing musical interludes. So very, very similar, just the modern version of it.
I never thought of it that way.
Wow, you need to get out more.
You need to brush up on your extinct attraction.
All right, so let's move on a little. I know these two parts are going to be really hard, and that's what makes this a really rough first edition of this segment, because we have to do the bad and the ugly, unfortunately, of this attraction. So the bad. What is bad about Mickey's PhilharMagic? I never thought I'd be asking this. Let's start with Anthony. Anthony, what's bad about PhilharMagic?
I really had to stretch this. The bad is it could be longer. There could be more movies.
But then that would increase the wait time, which is generally pretty good.
Yeah. I really couldn't come up with a solid bad. I know there could be, you know, one more segment, but I don't even know what movie you would put in there to keep the flow going.
So let's say you don't have a bad, then.
I don't really have a bad.
Brandon, do you have a bad?
Really, the only thing I could think of, and this is, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel and digging deep, but you guys mentioned that first Q room is awesome, and I agree with that. The only really bad thing about it is that is that second room, the actual like pre-show holding area. I remember in the older shows like Magic Journeys and I think even the Lion King show having some sort of pre-show there.
Yeah, there's that Rafiki part of the Lion King.
Rafiki, and then for Magic Journeys, they actually played in 3D, working for Peanuts, a short with Chip and Dale and Donald. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess maybe I've just been spoiled by, you know, the amazing Muppets pre-show, or even the kind of junky Honey, I Shrunk the Audience pre-show, but it just seems like you wait in that room for, you know, 7-10 minutes with nothing. So that's really the only bad thing I could come up with.
Scott, what do you got?
Ah, jeez, the bad.
Do you have anything?
It has to end. I kind of thought of two things. One, sometimes the 3D double visions. Am I the only one who gets this problem?
Wear glasses?
Yes, I wear the glasses.
Then that would be no. I mean like prescription.
Oh yeah, no. Yes, I do. I wear contacts. That might be it. Yeah.
That might be. I mean, I get that, but I wear them over glasses.
Yeah. So sometimes it really works if I'm in the middle, but if I sit off to the side, it doubles a little bit, which is weird because I don't get that when I like see the real Disney digital 3D in regular movie theaters. So maybe they need to.
Well, also I don't think that's as impressive. The digital 3D you see with the Disney films coming out now is more depth than coming at you. It's more like you're looking in. So it's different. But yeah, I sometimes get the double vision. I think, unfortunately, that's just something that comes with people that wear contacts or eyeglasses. Many people remember the stories of when they were testing Toy Story Mania originally before the attraction was finished. They had problems with people with eyeglasses getting a little sick in the attraction. So they had to do fine tweaking there. I think, unfortunately, there's just no way around that.
All right, well, there goes that.
But it's, I mean, is it really that bad?
No, it's not, but I
But I think that's the problem with this attraction is we're really stretching for stuff.
And the only other bad, I guess, I could come up with is the store. Not that anything's wrong with the store. Nothing's wrong with the store at all. It just seems, considering you have such a wide range of characters and situations in the movie, it all kind of focuses on Donald. And Donald at the end, or Donald... Well, I'd like a PhilharMagic shirt that has everyone on it. Like, Mickey, Donald, and all the movie characters.
I know the shirts. I've been unhappy with the PhilharMagic shirts.
Yeah, like
The only one I own is the tie-dye one. I don't know why I bought it. With Donald sort of bursting through the wall.
So that's it's mostly Donald when he's at the end, or generic Donald merchandise. And I, you know, hey.
But they've done a lot. They've done a lot of merchandise with all the characters. I have a bunch of magnets and keychains. And
yeah, but I want like a shirt or a hat, you know.
Yeah. Again, is that can we hold that against PhilharMagic?
No, but dude, but you, I had this. I told you this was the stretches. I guess if I had to think, you know, or maybe like a book, something like a book on the making of it, since it's such a amazing attraction. I don't know, but I told you I had to stretch, and that's all I could think of for bad.
Listen, I could come on the show for hours and talk about what's wrong with Disney merchandise, but we'll save that for another when we talk about the stores at Walt Disney World, which we'll do on this segment. Is that your bad, Scott?
That was all I could think of.
Brandon hit mine right on the head. The second pre-show room. There's nothing going on there. There's really nothing going on there. So here you have this first great room with all these posters, and then you get in the second room and sort of like you're in the waiting area of a theater. I mean, it's very true to what that's like in real life. Unfortunately, in real life, it's not any more interesting. So
correct me if I'm wrong, but was this the first attraction to use the term automagical?
No, Enchanted Tiki Room.
Okay.
Doors open automagically.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I think what would be really great is, you know, Goofy and Minnie come on over the speakers, you know, every few minutes. Minnie will say, we're almost ready. Goofy will say, we're going to open the doors. Why not have more of, just like you have when you're entering the theater and you're waiting for everyone to sit, why not just have more of Goofy running around with his antics while you're in that room? But again, I'm not an Imagineer, so we'll let them decide. But I think there could be, I agree with Brandon, there could be a lot more in that room. All right, so now here's the really impossible one. What is ugly about Mickey's PhilharMagic? Let's start with Brandon this time.
Well, again, you know, digging deep, you really should have named this one the good, better, and best if we're talking about PhilharMagic.
Yeah.
But I guess for my ugly, I'd have to pick what I pick for basically any attraction that's amazing at Disney, and that's parts not working up to the, you know, standard that they should. One of the problems with PhilharMagic now is that smell we were talking about, that wonderful apple pie smell, kind of tends to just leak out whenever it feels like now.
Yeah.
And when you walk in the first queue room, you can already smell that. I've sat in seats where the water effects don't work very well. Sometimes the wind's not that strong, but overall it's still holding up pretty well compared to some other attractions that, you know, debuted in that time. So I guess my ugly, yeah, just broken stuff.
Yeah, I think that's always going to be on the ugly for any attraction.
Yeah. It's just too bad when you've got an attraction that awesome
and things aren't working. Yep. Again, you don't get that whole experience every time, which is always sad. So, Scott, what do you got for ugly? Anything?
For ugly, I can only think of one thing. Nothing to do with the attraction is because it's accessible to everyone. There's children in it, and they ruin my experience. So that's seriously. I think, again, not to blame, because this goes has a story. I was at PhilharMagic. The last thing I did on the last day of my trip, and these two kids behind me were just rude, and they were singing and talking during the movie, and when I asked them to quiet down, they then proceeded to do it louder and on purpose to try and get a reaction out of me, And in order to not encourage them, I had to not react, but that just made him go on more. Where was the mother? Where were everyone around them? Am I the only one hearing this? You know what? And again, maybe that's more of the inattentive parents than the children. And then when there's nothing worse than being grabbed on the back of the head when they're trying to grab a jewel. Like,
oh, God.
Please send all hate mail to Scott Smith at WD.
Why? Am I the only one that had this problem?
I think it's a valid.
No, you are not.
It's a valid point. I think so.
And again, not to blame the kids or, you know, whatever stuff happens. I think what they need in this attraction, because it's like a theater experience, they need to have, please don't talk and please turn off cell phones and please be, you know, be respectful.
Like, I think unfortunately they can't tell anyone on any attraction not to talk.
Yeah, but no one should be in the theater but me. I want that entire thing all to myself. Really, there's nothing really, you know, what am I going to do? People, you know, have a right to do whatever. I just wish people would be more respectful, not that it has anything to do with the attraction
but
itself.
But I think it's the same thing you experience every time you go to the movies.
Yeah, and anything like the people on Haunted Mansion are like, oh!
People that take flash pictures on Haunted Mansion or pirates. Or
have to or scream during when the stretching room goes black, like, oh my God, I'm scared!
Or grab your face on Tower of Terror, that's a story I'll tell in another episode.
But that's kind of an ugly with any attraction, so I was stretching. That's all I could think of. That story from PhilharMagic just popped back in my head with those kids, and I'm like, ah! You know, it was the last
I wish I had a magic hat.
It was the last thing. It was the last thing I did on a trip, and I was making a video. I wasn't recording it. I wasn't recording any of the attractions because I didn't want to get in trouble, but I was making sort of a, you know how they have that top seven thing on the Disney TV? Well, I was kind of making my own for my then-girlfriend, now-fiance. I was making my own.
Oh, everybody say,
I know. Say, brilliant. Brilliant, right? I was making my own. And so after that, and the PhilharMagic was my number one. So after I got off it, I was all angry. And I'm like, well, that was my movie. And the two kids yelling at me behind me. And then some lady then clocked me in the knee with her stroller. So I almost tripped and broke my camera. So I have bad memories.
So if you would like your own Scott Smith mixtape, just send an email to wdwnewstoday@gmail.com.
Oh, jeez.
Alrighty then. Who's left? Anthony. Anthony, what's ugly? Let's try and stick to the attraction.
I gotta say the ugly is the attraction ending.
Yeah.
I always get bummed when PhilharMagic's over and
me too.
Have to leave and then go back and wait in line again and
do it again.
Anthony depresses us far too much on the show. A few weeks ago was we were talking about the best exits.
You're saying the worst exits.
The worst exits, and he goes, the whole sappy one. Well, the worst exit is leaving Walt Disney World at the end of your vacation.
No,
well, unfortunately that doesn't fit the criteria. So every attraction has to end. So okay, Anthony, I know you're going for the sympathy points, but it would have been okay to say there's nothing ugly about this attraction.
It stinks having to leave. It's an attraction that always puts a smile on my face. So having to leave it bums me out.
But I think we said that in that there was so much good about it. But anyway, I digress.
You're wrong, Anthony.
Let's get to my
wrong,
ugly.
Sir. You are wrong.
Let's get to my ugly because this segment's getting ugly. My ugly actually pertains to the attraction, and it's FastPass. This was an attraction that never needed it. Maybe the first week, going down there the first few weeks, it opened. I remember actually waiting on lines out the door. Nice thing is, the wait still wasn't more than 20 minutes. Now the wait is wonderful. I have not seen the line in all my trips the last two or three years. Fill up more than that first pre-show room. So I don't know if I'm just getting really lucky with timing or for some reason the crowds aren't there when I go to the attraction, but they're not there. I haven't even seen them running FastPass in a very long time either.
You definitely are, because when I was there in March, FastPass was in.
You went in March, though.
I'm just saying there are times of the year when FastPass is needed for PhilharMagic, especially.
I've been Christmas a few years, and you know, I haven't seen them really using it.
Maybe they do it sometimes to equalize the fast passes. Like,
it's not running fast pass right now.
Yeah, it has. I don't think it has all summer. I don't think even July 4th it ran Fast Pass.
Yeah, no. They might as well just rip the machines out.
I think this is a pretty good loading attraction because, as we'll probably say next week when we talk about best 3D attractions in general, 3D attractions are in huge theaters that load a lot of people.
Next
and
week.
Even though the show is every 10 minutes or so, there's still a tremendous amount of people going through an hour. So I have not waited more than 20 minutes for Filler Magic, even when it was very new. So another good thing we could tack onto new is wait time. Ugly is when it was, and if it does ever again run Fastpass. That's the only problem here, is I think this attraction doesn't need it. It's like having Honey, I Shrunk the Audience having Fastpass. Very bad idea, because never, even when they added Fastpass, needed it. So Fastpass and 3D shows like this, very ugly. Don't run them. And I'm glad a good thing is that they don't run them. So even though this was an ugly, it was still good in a sense.
The very sight of them offends me.
Yes. Well, I like Fastpass in general, just not for this show. Or Indiana Jones, but it's another show. All right, well, I think we have picked the good, somewhat the bad and the ugly of Mickey's Filler Magic. So until next time, we'll see you, partner.
Sayonara.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that is going to do it for episode 109 of the WDW News Today podcast. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening. You make this show possible and worth doing each and every week. I'd also like to apologize for the cancellation of a segment this week. Our Disney Marvel acquisition discussion and audio just did not make it. I did not have enough time to get it in before heading out to the expo. So unfortunately, that will have to air in a future episode. And indeed, it will air in just a few weeks' time, I promise. It's now time for the big finish, giving you all the useful information you'll need to know in the coming week. To contact us here at the show with any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at wdwnewstoday@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail message at 206-666-2982. If you have not done so already, please leave us a review on iTunes. It's a great way to let others know that there's an enjoyable Walt Disney World-based podcast out there for them. Be sure to visit the WDWNT Network community forums to vote for upcoming segments of the show and to view the show notes for this and previous episodes. That's at wdwnewstoday.com/forums, F-O-R-U-M-S. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/WDWNT. And as well, make me a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWNT. Do not forget about WDWNT The Weekend, August 19th through the 22nd, 2010. More information on that at WDWNTTheWeekend.com. As for the information I promised at the beginning of the show about our D23 Expo live coverage, if you're following me on Twitter or have me as a friend on Facebook, you are all set for the most frequent updates from the Expo. However, for longer news stories, and if you do not have Facebook or Twitter, you can go to wdwnewstoday.com or disneylandnewstoday.com. Full-length stories will be posted as we have time available to post them. We will try and find time to get those stories up on the main sites as quickly as possible. If not, again, if you want those updates as they happen at the Expo, you really need to be following us on Twitter or be friends with me on Facebook, because the Twitter updates will go to my Facebook account as well. So either one of those options are the best. But if not, the old reliable WDWNewsToday.com and DisneylandNewsToday.com will give you the stories not as quickly, but nonetheless, they will get up there as soon as possible. Coming up on next week's show, which is going to be episode 110, we're going to have another edition of The World's Finest and the return of Town Square Talk with Mayor Justin Heyman, all that on next week's show. Since I just previewed next week's show, that means that this week's is over, and I can end it with the corniest catchphrase in all of podcasting. That's going to do it for this week. See you all next week. See ya real soon.
Thanks for taking part in another episode of the WDW News Today podcast and celebrating news today. Please join us again next week. And remember to celebrate news today and every day throughout the WDWNT network by visiting WDWNT.com. This is Brian Summer saying good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.